Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio, your spot in the corner office, the radio show where executives share their secrets to success. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Jeff Greenhouse, Glimmer, Joe Heater, Maximus Partners, Kristen Lytle, Leaders Edge. And we have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today, including Bill Evans, CEO of Liberty Fox Technologies, J.M. Hassan, president of Amerisend, Joni Elikas, who's president of Crew Lehigh Valley, and finally, Ryan Walter, managing director of Pro CFO Partners. Let's get to know our first guest, Bill Evans, CEO of Liberty Fox Technologies. Bill, what is Liberty Fox Technologies? What are you guys doing?
Thanks, Herb. Liberty Fox is a software consultancy focused on business workflow applications, specifically in healthcare, building great integrations for our clients and partners.
Gotcha. Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters? Where are you in the pecking order?
I grew up in Northeast Philadelphia. I am the oldest of three. I have a younger brother and a youngest sister.
All right. And 8 to 14, what's that list look like of what you were doing 8 to 14?
I was a busy kid. 8 years old, I had actually slapped together my first computer from spare parts that my dad gave me. By 11, I was reading books in the library and wrote my first software program. And by 14, I was working for my uncle as a contractor building kitchens and bathrooms using my hands.
Mm-hmm. You also mentioned in the green room that you were doing something with the school newspaper. What were you doing with the school newspaper, and what's that have to do with what this with your role at Liberty Fox Technologies?
Sure. Yeah. So in high school, I took more of the nerd path than the jock path, and I was very involved in a lot of school activities. But I ran the TV studio and I ran the newspaper, and I was the editor in chief. I was responsible for collecting all of the articles from each of the students, arranging it on the paper, making sure that everything looked good, and shipping it off to printing. So, you know, wrapping that up with your question, I guess, I was responsible for adhering to deadlines, making sure that others adhered to deadlines, and making sure that people got the newspaper on Friday as they were supposed to.
Gotcha. Sheriff, Kristen, you want to give me a hand getting to know?
Yeah. So slapping together a computer at 8 is pretty ambitious. What was the driving force of that, and how does that have to do with the leader you are today?
For me, I was a super curious kid. As I think I mentioned before, my father, I used to pull apart everything at the house. I used to unscrew all the parts and everything. And he started to get a little frustrated when I started to use his tools to pull his tools apart. And at one point in time, my father worked for a company where he had to actually build computers. And in the process of building computers, sometimes he had to do it from home. So when he came home one time and was working on these computers, I was like, what's that? And I was distracting him from getting his work done. It was already nights and weekends. So the next day he went to the office, he grabbed all of his parts. He grabbed a bunch of spare parts he didn't need off his shelf, gave them to me. Had no idea that he actually gave me enough parts to assemble a computer and sent me off to my room to go have fun with parts that he didn't care about. I figured out how to stick them all together, plug it into a monitor, and got it to boot up. And I came back down a few hours later and said, "Hey, Dad, how can I install Windows on this thing?" So I think that creativity gave me some finesse for problem solving that I use every day.
Mm-hmm. Jeffrey?
Yeah, so I want to dig in a little more on that because I feel a lot of similar things here. When you were younger, you said you started taking things apart, figuring out how they worked, building them yourself. You know, I did a lot of that myself too. Now you're directing 20 people as they do the building. How do you feel about that shift, and how important is it to share what you know with them to help them do what they're doing now?
That's a great question, Jeff. And I think for me, the learning experience moving from problem solving myself to leadership is learning to let people learn within certain guardrails, allowing them to make mistakes, because that's the best way to learn. I'm able to actually view and see where they're going and how they're working and what they're doing and where they're going to get stuck. And I learned that as early in my business, I used to solve their problems for them. And the challenge that I had was I was kind of deflating their ingenuity and creativity. So by kind of just giving them some guardrails and letting them figure it out, I've been able to kind of encourage their path.
Mr. Heater?
Yeah. When we talked earlier, you mentioned you know, you like to build things, computers, you were on the newspaper, TV studio, and you did play sports. So you had a lot on your plate. How did you, you know, so how did you balance your time and prioritize, and how does that drive how you prioritize your professional life today?
And honestly, Joe, I'll tell you that that's probably a challenge that I continue to have to this day. I haven't met an entrepreneur who's figured out a perfect work-life balance. I think that at the end of the day, you just have to be excited about what you're doing, because if you're not, it can become a prison of your own design. And, you know, as I've mentioned to many people in the past, I feel like entrepreneurs are the only people that are willing to work 80 hours for themselves to avoid working 40 for someone else. So I don't have a perfect solution to that. There's no silver bullet, but you just have to love what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Jeffrey?
Speaking of things that you're doing that you love, I heard that you're also a pilot in your spare time. Now, where you get spare time outside of those 80 hours, I don't know. But where did that hobby come from, and how does that relate to your professional life?
That's a great question, Jeff. So God's honest truth, 15 years ago, there was that website Groupon that was super popular for coupons. And they had a Groupon, $75 for an intro flight, go up, fly around for 45 minutes, and you get to say that you flew a plane. And that's all I wanted to do. I was like, yeah, $75 and I get to fly a plane, I'm in. I went, flew the plane for 45 minutes with an instructor, landed with the instructor, and I was like, absolutely want to do that immediately. Sign me up. Like, I want to do that over and over and over again for the rest of my life. And so I have been flying for 15 years. I just purchased an airplane myself last year. I think that being a pilot brings a lot of diligence and response, you know, structure to my life. Cause you know, as an entrepreneur, you can be a little, you know, ADD, but being a pilot, it's like you checklist, 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 make sure that you, make sure that you're, you know, there's no shoulder of the road in the sky. You can't pull over, right? So you got to do everything by the book. And it forces me to follow my diligence. And I bring that to my business.
Kristen?
What do you get from your mom that you bring to work every day? What did you get from your dad that you bring to work every day?
That's great. My parents are really a wonderful combination of yin and yang. My father, by far, my problem solving. He is a very intelligent person, an engineer, and you know, he really taught me to problem solve, taught me to be creative and curious, and I value a lot of that knowledge from my father. Like, don't be afraid to break things and pull things apart and learn, even though sometimes I've gone too far. From my mother, 100% also an incredibly intelligent woman. She is super smart and compassionate. What I've learned from her is just empathy and support, and, you know, always try to understand somebody else's perspective and don't assume that they have the same perspective as you. That's something that I always, you know, in my business, in my life, if there's a problem or a challenge that somebody has, you know, before I say you should have done this or why did you do that, I always start the conversation with, well, what's going on with you? Talk to me about your life right now before we go down this path.
So you're bringing empathy to the world of computers?
Yeah, you have to, even though software developers tend to be the introverts that like to work in the dark in the basement, kind of a quote, they're still people at the end of the day, and they have a lot of feelings.
So how have feelings helped you build this business called Liberty Fox Technologies?
Everything that we do is relationship-based. At the end of the day, I need to make sure that my clients get the result that they want. And I always tell my employees, you should never write a line of code if you can't tell me what the impact is to your customer's business. The solution is not a product delivered on time, on budget. It is, you know, the customer's business happening better and they're growing or whatever their goals are. You know, if their goal is to retire in 5 years to Tahiti, every line of code needs to get them retired to Tahiti in 5 years. And so, you know, I bring that to my business and to my team and really just try to empathize with my customer so that I truly understand what we're trying to do for them.
So empathy is your middle name, it sounds like, as opposed to software or hardware. What's the website address for this organization known as Liberty Fox Technologies?
Sure. Our website is libertyfoxtech.com. Liberty like the Liberty Bell, Fox like the animal, tech spelled T-E-C-H.
We've been speaking with Bill Evans, CEO of Liberty Fox Technologies, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, that's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, stick around. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere.
This is Herb Cohen, your host at executiveleadersradio.com. Regarding your career, if you're trying to figure out how to make the most money and also enjoy your career, that's enjoy your career, I mean really enjoy your career and make the most money, you ought to talk to our CEOs. They've got the bird's eye view of where the really profitable jobs are, where the really profitable jobs are going to be, and they're willing to speak with you regarding their vision for the future and where you may fit into it in order to make the most money and really enjoy your career. Email us, consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com to get help from our CEOs regarding where you may want to go in your career to make the most money and really enjoy your career. Consult@executiveleadersradio.com.
This 60 Seconds of Service is presented by T-Mobile, recognizing the steadfast dedication and sacrifices made by service members and their families. T-Mobile is committed to supporting active duty veterans and military spouses. Visit T-Mobile.com/military to learn more.
Rick Foley, 75-year-old Vietnam vet from West Haven, Connecticut, served as a marine engineer in Vietnam. Upon returning home, he initially believed he had adjusted well, staying busy with work. However, he later realized he had retreated into his own world due to unresolved trauma. Recognizing the need for connection, Foley became active in the West Haven Vietnam Veterans Group and the West Haven Veterans Museum, spaces where veterans could share experiences and support one another. Now he actively assists younger veterans returning from Afghanistan and Iraq with open dialogue and shared experiences for healing. Today's 60 Seconds of Service is brought to you by Prevagen. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist recommended memory support brand. You can find Prevagen in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 800-419-1964. 800-419-1964. 800-419-1964. That's 800-419-1964.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. And let's get to know J.M. Hassan, who's president of Amerisyn. J.M., what is Amerisyn? What are you guys doing?
We manufacture packaging machinery that helps people in their everyday lives.
Where you're from? How many brothers and sisters? Where's you in the pecking order?
I was born in Philadelphia. I'm the oldest of three.
All righty. 8 to 14. What's the list look like? Where were you up to 8 to 14?
So 8 to 14 for me was a period of change. We moved as a family. I was in three different schools and had a chance to meet a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. All right. Matthew, want to give me a hand getting to know JM, please?
Sure. JM, in the green room, you told us that one of those moves was actually so big as to be all the way to Chicago. And you described all of that as providing an opportunity to learn new skills at a young age. What skills are you talking about and how did you learn them?
Well, I think I had to meet new friends, so I had to put myself out there. I had to get involved and assimilate with different groups.
Mm-hmm. And Tell me, what does that assimilation with different groups, what did you learn from that that you use today at Amerisend?
Curiosity, learned how to meet people, learned how to engage with people that I didn't know. And I use that every day with all of our stakeholders.
Gotcha. Ari.
Yeah, Jim, in the green room, you mentioned you were, quote, one of the gang when it comes to your group of friends in the neighborhood. Tell me a little bit more about that. Unpack that for me.
Well, I was with larger groups. In many cases, I was new to a group, so I tried to assimilate with the group, learn something about everybody, and become one of the team.
What's that have to do with who you are nowadays? What did you learn from being one of the gang? Does anything to do with building this business?
I think it has a lot to do with building the business. I use the skill set to meet people, engage with people, learn to be a trusted partner with people, learn that at a young age.
Gotcha. Zach?
And so, Jam, you mentioned in the green room that math was your favorite subject growing up. So I want to know, why math? What was your inclination to that subject? And what does that have to do with running a packaging business today?
Well, math was something that, quite honestly, I was just good at. But I did enjoy it. I enjoyed numbers. I studied engineering and science in college. And our firm designs and manufactures equipment. So we have a lot of engineers. We use math every day.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
Jim, I really enjoyed getting to hear about some of the uncomfortable situations, and you described them as life calluses as at an early age. How did they feed into your ability to feel comfortable taking risks and going out and acquiring new businesses as a leader today?
Well, I think they were directly correlated. I learned that I had to be dependent on myself. I had to have a lot of self-reliance. I had to be comfortable in uncomfortable places and make myself vulnerable. And that's what you have to do when you own and run a business.
Mm-hmm. Jim?
JM, you watched your grandfather make stick figures at age 9, and it stuck with you that they didn't have to be perfect. What did you mean by that?
Well, today they would be called primitives. I think that's the new term for them. But it was just basic art, and got to use tools to make them. Learned that even at a young age, I could make something that people enjoyed, albeit not perfect.
Wasn't Looking that back, was that the moment you realized that simple creations can hold lasting meaning?
I guess so. I guess I did. Yes.
And that was really the beginning of appreciation for manufacturing, for the whole manufacturing industry and process.
Yeah, I'm proud that we make things that people use every day. Products are built in the U.S., and it's a great thing.
Joe?
Yeah, I know you have a love of sports, especially football. And you mentioned you played with, you know, 100 other guys on a team, but you didn't look at them as competitors, but as colleagues. Tell me how that philosophy translates to your business.
Well, I went to a high school that I was recruited to play football at. Turns out a lot of other people were as well. So while things are competitive during camp, you build bonds and you become teammates, and there's an interdependence there. And when I'm at work, I believe in being a good teammate with the people that I work with, and I want to make sure they're good teammates with everyone else.
Excellent. Heather?
In the green room, we learned about your mentor growing up, Chip Pringle. Where did you meet him? What did he teach you? And how does he influence your leadership style today?
Well, he was a father of one of my friends, so I got to know him in a variety of ways. He owned a business that he started right out of college, and I just admired what he did. He was just a great person. Everyone that worked for him really looked up to him, and he looked up to them, quite honestly. He knew their name, he knew their families, and tried to create opportunity for them that in turn created opportunity for him. And to me, that was pretty inspiring.
How does that influence your leadership style today?
Well, I think it influences it quite a bit. I think as an owner of a business, I obviously try to make good products and things like that, but I also try to create opportunity for the folks that work at our company and make sure that they're committed and have a passion about what we do.
Mm-hmm. You know all 40 of them by name?
I sure do.
Mm-hmm. Jim?
JM, you told us you're a father. What are the similarities between being a dad and being a CEO?
Well, I think with my family and with my business, I try to give people encouragement, but I would say more than anything, I try to set a good example. I'm a big believer that people may listen passively, but they pay attention actively. So if I conduct myself in a certain way, I'm purposeful, I think that's what people glean. And I think that's true with children as well. So I've tried to put that into practice in both places. And thus far, it's served me well.
Mm-hmm. JM, you think you're going to retire someday?
I think I'll probably stop doing what I'm doing, but I don't know that I'll ever retire.
Well, what do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, I like to be busy. I like to make a difference for people. So I'll probably volunteer, maybe mentor young people, mm-hmm. serve on boards, things like that. But I'm a lifelong learner, so I always want to be engaged.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you're the kind of guy to sit on the couch. Matthew, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I was in the green room. You were telling me you learned some vocabulary differences between Philadelphia and Chicago. Could you remind me again, how did that come about and what did you learn from that experience?
Sure. Well, as a 9-year old, like most 9-year olds, people pick on you at times. So I use the word soda, which is what we do here in Philly. There it's called pop. I use sneakers. They call them tennis shoes. And there were a variety of other words. And that's just learning to be able to assimilate, be curious, and try to latch on to things that that make you part of that team and club.
It seems like you took what might have been a negative experience, kids making fun of you for using the wrong word, and you turn it into something positive and a way mm-hmm. to kind of join the group and assimilate. Where does that come from?
Well, I never started and stopped at the same school in my life from, you know, kindergarten through college. I always went to multiple schools. So those situations got easier over time. But the skill set that I developed and the life calluses I developed were all as a result of being put in situations where I had to acclimate. I had to meet people. I had to use and develop new skills. So they were a gift.
It sounds to me, though, on one hand, you got roughed up a little bit, you know, teased or whatever, and it's difficult. You know, you got these calluses. What's striking to me, though, is that you keep your touchy-feely side. How are you able to get beat up and, on the other hand, still care?
I think it was just the formative years for me, where I went to school, the values that I was taught.
Did that come from mom or dad? Are you more like mom or dad?
You know, probably a bit of both, to be honest. I think also a lot of teachers influence me, and you know, people are people. People are going to act certain ways. The only thing you can control is how you act. So I've tried to do my best in that regard.
So you allow people to influence you. You allow people in, and then you're taking the best of who you're meeting and trying to figure out how to incorporate mm-hmm. it and leave the worst behind.
Yeah. I just believe you can learn from every situation. Sometimes you learn what to do, and sometimes you learn what not to do. Both are a gift.
Mm-hmm. Website address for Amerisend?
Amerisend.com, AmeriscendCom.
You got it. We've been speaking with J.M. Hassan, president of Amerisend, here on Executive Leaders Radio. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere.
I heard the call to serve. So I answered. I earned a title and discovered my purpose. I found belonging. An unbreakable bond with my fellow Marines. We fought to overcome adversity together in defense of our nation and its people. I've lived a full life, rich with meaning. And even though I no longer wear the uniform, I am still a Marine. My service has come full circle. I will always look after those around me. I will always uplift and support my country and my community. Because that is the promise I made. That is what it means to be a Marine. Semper Fidelis. Always faithful, always Marine.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me. since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Every day, thousands of women across America go for a run, expecting to return home safely. But the brutal murder of Laken Riley by an illegal immigrant shook the nation. Laken did nothing wrong. Her story is every woman's fear. It could have been anyone. Her killer should have not been here. That's why so many are relieved to see law enforcement taking action, securing the border, and deporting violent criminals. Women deserve safe communities. Yet, many college campuses celebrate and vow to protect illegal immigrants. Campus reform exposes this dangerous reality. A secure border and removal of criminal aliens are essential to public safety on campuses and beyond. America's education institutions should not stand in the way. Visit campusreform.org. Restoring Truth, Correcting Bias in Education, One Story at a Time. A series brought to you by the Leadership Institute and Radio America.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
The trials and tribulations of false progressivism are upon us, and their forces have gathered strength like never before. What's the solution? Join us on Liberty Nation Radio to find out.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and let's get to know Joni Elikas, president of CRU Lehigh Valley. Joni, what is CRU Lehigh Valley? What are you guys doing?
So CRU Lehigh Valley is an organization that brings women together in commercial real estate to exchange information, develop business contacts, and help each other succeed professionally.
Gotcha. Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
So I grew up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I have three brothers, two sisters, and I am the youngest.
Youngest of six. What did growing up the youngest of six do to you?
I was a very, very independent child. With having that many siblings, you have to be on your own and be independent.
All righty. And 8 to 14, what's the list look like? What were you doing 8 to 14 years old?
8 to 14. So I went to a Catholic school. I, again, very independent, intuitive as a child. I would make my Barbie doll clothing. I would make Barbie doll houses, cook for myself, babysit. I was on the basketball team, volleyball team, very involved.
When you say intuitive, what do you mean by intuitive?
I was able to know if a person was a good person, a bad person, and just really kind of filter through the nonsense and know who was good and who was bad because I was independent. I was by myself.
Gotcha. Kristen, want to give me a hand getting to know Joni, please?
Yeah, you mentioned in the green room that you experienced some very intense teachers growing up that sometimes would single out other kids. How did that impact you and how does that shape who you are as a leader today?
So being that I went to a Catholic school, there were a lot of nuns that were there and they were not always good people. So seeing what happened to other children made me stand up for other people and more so try to protect people. So with that, I feel as though I really took on a leadership role and watched out for the underdog, if you will.
Joseph?
Yeah, you mentioned you played center on your basketball team and you had a game where you took the last shot that you wanted the ball. What does that say about your role as a leader?
So I was willing to take that chance. I was at center court and I was told throw the ball and it was make or break. So I did it and we made the scoring point and the team was just ecstatic that this happened. So it just proved to everybody, you know what, take that chance. Whether you're far out on something, you have to take that risk and just do it.
Mm. Do you like to win?
Absolutely. I certainly don't like to lose. So it's about winning for me.
Jeffrey?
So I want to go back to that independence theme. I know as a child, you said you were very independent, partly because you were one of six, youngest of six, and parents' attention spread very thin because it just has to be at that stage. I hear the word independent, and I think of people saying, I can do it by myself. I don't need people to help me. Now you're heading up a network where people support each other and rely on each other. So in your opinion, does having a support network make people less independent or help them be more independent?
It absolutely makes them become more independent. We are a group that helps one another. If there's a situation where someone is having an issue with their job and they come to us or come to me, I will 100% support that person and try to guide them as I would do in that situation. Let's face it, not everybody is outgoing and will stand up for themselves. So that kind of person will come to me and ask for my opinion and how to handle a situation, and have been very grateful for it because, you know, we as a chapter help people, you know, get through tough situations.
Mm-hmm. Kristen?
Now, you've mentioned independence quite a bit. If I were to survey all your close friends, what letter grade would they give you when it comes to being a supportive friend?
I think I'd get an A++. I am always out to support my friends in any way that I can. And a lot of people, you know, they come to me and say, oh my gosh, you're such a strong woman. How do you do this? And again, it's because of my upbringing. So I am always there to uplift women and guide them any way that I can. And it's just, they're very happy that I'm there to listen. I'm a very good listener as well.
But this is supposed to, Jeffrey, go ahead, please.
I want to flip the prior question around a little bit. You know, again, as leaders, you know, we're trying to be more independent. We have that sense, I can handle it, or now I've got a support network I can handle it. But how do you feel people know, when do I need to go get some help? When do I need to recognize, or how do I recognize that, you know, I need a little more than I can handle myself?
You know, if you can read a person, you can tell that they're stressed out and just not into talking when they're in a situation. So it's being intuitive to a person's, I guess, personality as well. So if you know somebody to be a happy person and they're quiet and kind of standoffish, well, you need to follow up on that person and find out if you can help them. It's like reading the room.
Mr. Heater?
So you read in person.
Yeah, going back to your role on the basketball team, you said you were the motivator on the team. How does that work as a leader today?
It's the same principle. You know, I am the motivator for our chapter, but it's not just me alone. It is the entire board, the chairs, the co-chairs. And we motivate each other. We're A-type personalities. We are badass women, and we get things done.
Mm-hmm. So this group of yours, which are folks in and around the world of real estate, it sounds to me like the glue that's holding you guys together is the stuff about support and supporting each other as opposed to let's get a deal done. Am I reading that correctly or am I wrong?
Absolutely. It's about women supporting women in commercial real estate, as well as men supporting women in commercial real estate. Let's face it, it's still somewhat of a man's world. So we have each other's back, and it is about supporting women, basically helping each other get jobs or where you need to be in your career. So it's really a support network. And we are, as a network, over 15,000 strong.
So you're 15,000 strong nationally. How many are local in the greater Philadelphia, Allentown area?
So we are an international network, but my chapter alone has over 140 members.
How long have you been the president?
So the president is, it's a year term, and I have been president since January.
And what are you doing different? What are you doing to the organization?
So I'm not taking any nonsense. It's I handle situations very quickly. Mm-hmm. I will bring my team in. I don't keep any situation to myself. I feel as though if there's something going on within the chapter, it is the right of the board to know what's going on, and we will handle it as a team.
So as opposed to you being the boss and in charge of everything, it sounds to me like you're in the middle of everything. Am I wrong about that?
There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that the chapter isn't aware of. But like I said, it's you have to handle things swiftly and diplomatically. Mm-hmm. But again, my personality is a very strong personality. So, you know, if there's a situation where somebody thinks something should be this way, just because maybe they just want to get their way, we will have a conversation of exactly, you know, how things really are and how.
So you're very comfortable of making decisions, yet also being sensitive to the people you're dealing with. You know, you're going to give them a straight answer, and it's going to happen reasonably quick, as opposed to being political and letting them guess about what you're really thinking. Is that true?
Right. I make things very clear. I don't like to sugarcoat things because I think things get lost in translation when you do that. So it is, nice. I'm the bullet type kind of person.
Sounds like people can depend on you. What's the website address for Crew Lehigh Valley?
It is lehigh-valley.crewnetwork.org.
We've been speaking with Joni Elikas, president of Crew Lehigh Valley, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Stick around. We'll be back in a moment. Right after this quick break, don't go anywhere.
This is Herb Cohen, your host of Executive Leaders Radio. And if you're a business consultant, if you consult to business owners or to business owners' team members, then we'd like to speak with you, because we're getting requests from people all over the country, from entrepreneurs all over the country that are starting and building their businesses, where they're looking for help. And maybe we can help connect you. Why don't you email us at consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com. And perhaps we can connect you to folks, to entrepreneurs and their team members all around the country that are looking for help. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about $1 a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about $1 a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as $1 a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-542-9830. 800-542-9830. 800-542-9830. That's 800-542-9830.
A surge in counterfeit purchases across the US is fueling a growing underground economy that's costing billions and putting jobs at risk. That's according to new research from the Transnational Alliance to Combat Illicit Trade, TraceIt, that's revealed nearly 3 in 10 US consumers feel comfortable in purchasing fake goods. Few realize that illicit trade costs the global economy more than $4.2 trillion. That's more than half of the US federal budget and enough cash to buy every home in Texas. Jeff Hardy, Director General at TraceIt, joins me now.
The U.S. is being flooded with fakes. as data from the OECD shows that 40% of counterfeits are destined for the U.S., and they're fueling a dangerous shadow economy. From fashion and cosmetics to illicit alcohol and tobacco, cheap counterfeits might feel like a bargain, but they're not. Most people don't realize that illicit trade costs the country billions in lost tax and business, and it fuels organized crime and forced labor. We urgently need government to crack down on America's illegal empire.
The word never carries a lot of weight. Never forget, never settle, never surrender. And now Dodge is proud to announce Never Lift, the full throttle rally cry of stepping on the gas and never letting up. With the 475 horsepower Durango SRT 392 and the muscle car dynamic duo Dodge Charger and Challenger, and the introduction of Dodge Power Brokers, your official dealer for legendary Direct Connection performance parts. For more on the Never Lift mindset, go to Dodge.com. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Back, you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and let's get to know Ryan Walter, Managing Director of ProCFO Partners. Ryan, what is ProCFO Partners? What are you guys doing?
Hi, thanks for having me. We provide strategic financial leadership to growth-minded companies, and we do that by providing fractional and interim CFO services.
Where you're from, how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
I grew up in Wyomissing, Pennsylvania. There's two of us, and I have one younger brother.
And 8 to 14, what's the list look like? What were you doing 8 to 14?
I was doing a whole lot of things. I was running around the neighborhood, gathering kids up to play whatever game we could play. I was going out on my own, on my bike, on whatever adventure I could come up with, and probably playing half the sports out there that were available to me.
Mm-hmm. How many kids were in the neighborhood, and what was your role with the kids in the neighborhood, and what's that got to do with what you're doing now?
We had about 20 to 30 kids in the neighborhood. My role in many cases was the one who knocked on the doors and got everyone out so we could all participate in the game.
Mm-hmm. And let's see. Kristen, you want to give me a hand, please?
Yeah, you mentioned quite a list of activities. I'm going to guess you have a high threshold for busyness. How does that pull through to the leader you are today?
Well, I think there's a yin and a yang, right? So there's a good part of that, which is you can get a lot done, but you also have to understand, and what I've come to know is with a lot of folks following you, you can almost over-busy everyone. So you've got to be able to find the right balance of busy yet result.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Heater?
Yeah, you mentioned that math was your favorite subject in school. What was it that you liked about math, and how does that translate as a leader today?
I think two things. One, it's about solving really hard problems, and it's how you get to the answer. But also, math describes things. Almost anything in the world can be described through math.
Jeffrey.
So there's a knock on the door. It's young Ryan gathering the neighborhood kids together to go do something. But then you're not necessarily trying to lead them once you gather them together. And I'd imagine now CFOs as a group, these are people who are accustomed to being leaders. They've got that C in front of their title. How did that experience as a kid wrangling everybody in the neighborhood translate into now wrangling and leading a whole group of other leaders?
Yeah, I think it's really about getting everyone aligned to achieve a result and getting everyone focused on trying to support other businesses and helping them along their journey. And so it comes down to understanding everyone's motivation and making them part of that greater result we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Kristen?
You mentioned the green room, listening to the moon landing recordings quite a bit as a kid. Why? What was it about that that kept you listening again and again? And how does that show up today?
Well, I think it was the awe of it. It was something out there you could only watch in the sky when we stared up at the moon. And when you thought about how hard that had to be, from starting from Kennedy saying, we're going to land someone there, get them back safely at the end of the decade, and we had no clue how to do it, that just, for a young kid, that sparked so much awe in me.
Mm-hmm. Jeffrey?
You shared that your favorite sport as a kid was the one that you felt you were the worst at, but it had the best team atmosphere and the best experience. So it sounds like when you chose, you had an opportunity to choose between something that might give you greater personal glory and something that might give you a more enjoyable experience, and you chose the enjoyable experience. How does that relate to what you've chosen to do for yourself, and to why these CFOs choose to work for you?
Yeah, I think I found that I enjoy group success a lot more than individual success. And being part of something bigger can have a much greater influence on any one individual contribution or any one individual item. So being part of an organization that is looking to drive something to greatness has always just sung to me.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Heater?
Yeah, you mentioned in the green room that your dad was in business, but you really weren't sure what he did. But how did you learn about it, and how did that influence your career path?
Yeah, interestingly enough, when I went to college, I thought I would never be in business. I said, I'm not going to do that. But I think through osmosis, my father was a professor. I had Wall Street journals. I had Business Weeks. I had Blue Books. I wasn't realizing how much I was kind of getting through that. And by the time I got into school, I had to find a class. I took an accounting class. And I thought, wow, I really like this. And I guess my dad was onto something. This is kind of interesting. There's a lot of complexity in this. And it's about figuring out a problem that involves sort of both logic and people.
That involves both logic and people, math and people. So you like solving problems with teammates that are complex. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, absolutely. The hardest challenge is getting everyone together. We all have different motivations. I think that's the exciting part. When you can get everyone focused on one item, and we all come from different places with different skills, that's the really incredible result.
So it's not a matter of you solving the problem. It's a matter of help of getting the team around you to help solve the problem.
Oh, absolutely. I figure normally I can solve 5% of the total problems we're involved with, but I love the fact that I'm part of the solution amongst the team.
What do you get from mom you bring to work every day?
My mother was breaking the mold before everyone else was breaking the mold. She was the first woman to get a license in her family. She was the first woman against her father's will to buy a car in her family. And I learned from her absolute advocacy. She would fight for my brother and I, whatever was wrong, to the end, no matter what it meant to her. And I think it's given me that persistence to do what's right, even if it's going to cause some friction or some problem for you.
Sounds like your mom really helped define who you are. How about that? What do you bring from dad to work every day?
Yeah, I think two things. One, hustle. He was always going. That's one thing or the other, whether for work or his family. And the other thing was service, about being part of something bigger. He served in the Navy. He served in every community activity. He was every assistant coach you could do. He was on the school board. Giving back to something that you are a part of was just important to him.
And how did being the older of two siblings, how's that defining who you are nowadays?
I think it gives you an inherent responsibility for looking out for other people. You feel accountable for protecting them. You feel accountable for making sure everything's done correctly. And for me, that's meant feeling like with whomever I'm working with, I do have a responsibility there. I have a responsibility to help them grow. I have a responsibility to help them mature. I have a responsibility for them to move on to the next point in their career. And I think that has always been something at my heart, and probably has even made me protective at times.
So if I were one of your teammates, what's the benefit of coming to work for you versus somebody else? You're going to develop me?
I think I'm going to support you on your own path, right? I think develop you sounds a little bit intentional. I'm going to be there to support you in where you're looking to go and be of whatever help I can be. In fact, my proudest moments being far enough along in my career is seeing people that I managed 20 years ago and where they are now and what they've achieved, and knowing that maybe I was 1% of that journey, but what they're accomplishing now is incredible.
So wouldn't it be fair to say, and maybe I'm mistaken, that your greatest strength is as a matchmaker, understanding who the client needs versus who the CFO is and making that match, and with all those complex factors?
That's absolutely the most important thing we do. There's a lot of pieces into that. We've yet to figure out an answer through AI or ChatGPT to do that. And there's a real art and science to it. So for us, personality, match to culture, obviously skills and some other things. But those first two are probably the most critical things to success.
So as opposed to being the dominant boss, you're like you were in the neighborhood. You're just pulling everybody together and helping everybody fit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's about getting everyone together and getting the most out of the team.
Gotcha. Maybe that also goes back to the sports stuff, where you aren't the star of the sports team, but you chose the team that could win together, where you really enjoyed the. So you're really all about relationships, even though math was your favorite subject. You know, you're all about relationships. Yes. No.
I love individual relationships. I think they're the thing everything grows on.
The website address for this organization, known as Pro CFO Partners, is
ProCFOPartners.com.
Let me have that one more time.
It's ProCFOPartners.com.
We've been speaking with Ryan Walter, Managing Director of Pro CFO Partners, as well as we've had the opportunity of speaking with, starting with Mr. Bill Evans, CEO of Liberty Fox Technologies, J.M. Hassan, President of Amerisend, Joni Elikis, President of Crew Lehigh Valley, and most recently, Ryan Walter, Managing Director of Pro CFO Partners. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, including Jeff Greenhouse, Glimmer, Joe Heater, Maximus Partners, and Kristen Lytle, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. I'll be providing the listening audience, our listening audience, an educational and entertaining show. Mr. Greenhouse, what is your website address for Glimmer?
GLYMR.com.
GLYMR.com. Mr. Heater, Maximus Partners.
MaximusPartnersLLC.com.
And Kristen, Leader's Edge.
The-leaders-edge.com.
All right. And again, thank you. We like to appreciate our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. Thank you for joining us today and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Was this whole Doge thing the best idea?
The Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski. Every day, Chris helps unpack the connection between politics and the economy and how it affects your wallet.
After trying to save the government trillions of dollars in spending, Congress is voting to only keep $9 billion of the Doge cuts. Are they totally insulting our intelligence?
Whether it's happening in D.C. or down on Wall Street, it's affecting you financially. Be informed. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Washington, D.C. is where unforgettable events happen, and Events D.C. makes it all possible. As the city's official convention and sports authority, Events D.C. is your one-stop shop for planning in the nation's capital. From the Walter E. Washington Convention Center to the historic Carnegie Library and more, they manage the venues that make events shine. Conventions, sports, entertainment, and cultural celebrations. Events D.C. brings them all to life. Make your next event a D.C. event. Visit eventsdc.com.